wasn't about to sh** my pants, I'd be f***ing fascinated.
Hello, everyone. As I stumble my way through this intro, this is a Generic Live Show episode number 5, recorded Wednesday, the 6th of August, 2014. I'm Dale Campbell, and this is the Generic Live Show, delivering your weekly dose of genericness from around Australia and the world. It is, like I mentioned, Wednesday, the 6th of August, 2014. I am Dale Campbell, like I also mentioned. Just want to keep mentioning that, so I cover all of my bases. Yes, we are back doing a generic live show. This has been a long time coming. It's been a really, really interesting adventure with the Generic Live Show and all that it partakes in. It's been quite interesting just watching this show become just a weird offshoot conversation and it going away and it being rebooted in this sort of fun interactive format is kind of nice. And yeah, we will, of course, the show will get better, I promise. It won't be people are distracting me. It won't happen overnight, but it will happen. Just a bit of a note, I am leaning more towards now a geeky news side. I'm gonna dabble in that. But we can do anything. People are distracting me. God damn it, American, so you know I do it. Don't you know I do a show right now? No. Okay. Yes. So I think we're gonna just have a look at some of the headlines in the week, and then we're gonna jump into the main part of the discussion. So let's start with the headlines. Yes, headline music. Leading on the show later on will be, drumroll please, the Australian Federal Government's discussion paper on online copyright infringement, the pirating and illegal downloading of software, movies, music, and television shows in Australia. Just in case you weren't sure what online copyright infringement was. Has been officially released after 5 days of being leaked online. The discussion paper pulls no punches in sharing the government's opinion that online privacy is a problem. Quote, "The ease with which copyrighted content can be distinguished and distributed online means that there is no easy solution to preventing online copyright infringement. International experience has shown that a range of measures are necessary to reduce privacy and ensure that we can continue to take full advantage of legitimate opportunities to create, provide, and enjoy content in the digital environment." Not asleep yet? I will drive you to sleep. The Australian government believes that everyone has a role in reducing online copyright infringement. Right holders can ensure that content can be accessed easily and at a reasonable price to their consumers. Internet service providers, or lovingly referred to as ISPs, can take responsible steps to ensure their systems are not used to infringe copyright. Consumers can do the same thing and access the content lawfully. According to a discussion paper, the ranges of measures may include site blocking, quote, extended injective release to block infringing overseas sites, and changing quote-unquote safe harbour rules to protect institutions like universities from liability from copyright infringements, according to their private networks and online search engines for linking to and caching infringing content. And like I said, we'll be discussing a lot more of what is entailed in the discussion paper as a whole later on in the episode. Variety reports that Legendary Entertainment has acquired Felicia Day's digital network Geek and Sundry and has plans to develop both scripted and non-scripted television projects and digital series with the company's founder and star. Quote, financial terms were not disclosed, but Geek and Sundry will pair with Legendary's other fan-friendly network, Nerdist Industries, run by Chris Hedrick, with both going after the same core genre and pop culture-loving audience. Legendary's targets it with films, including Summer's Godzilla, and the upcoming horror pick As Below, So Below. Launched in 2012, Geek and Sundry claims over 1.4 million subscribers on its YouTube network and Hulu channel. P.S. They also celebrate its 1 millionth YouTube subscriber on Monday. It has more than 12,000 fans on social media platforms. The venture is run by Day's business partner, Sherry Bryant, who said, quote, Geek and Sundry has a passionate fan base with one of the most recognizable brands in the community. That's not what she said. That's what Bruce Rosenblum, president of Legendary's Television and Digital Media. We are thrilled to have Felicia's talent, creativity, and integrity as part of our growing digital team. Legendary launched its in-house digital division in 2013, most recently buying the rights to produce a digital series based on Capcom's video game franchise Dead Rising for Crackle and Content Media. Hey! Did you know that it is now legal to unlock your phone in the United States? Well, sort of. Geek News Central reports that President Obama signed a bill into law that is going to make a lot of cell phone users happy. Because they're happy. The bill was called Unblocking Consumer Choice and Wireless Competition Act. The bill was written in response to the We the People petition titled Make Unblocking Cell Phones Legal. Makes sense, sort of. How does this affect you? Well, now it's legal in the United States to unblock your phone. So that might change, so that you can change characters without having to purchase a new device. Now it is also legal for you to sell or buy unlocked phones. There are some things you need to be aware of, however. The new law doesn't override terms of service contracts that people have already signed with their characters. In other words, if your contract says that you cannot unlock your device for 2 years after you purchased it, you're kind of stuck with that contract. Details on contracts may vary from device and character, though you might want to recheck yours and see what it says. There are some things you need to be... Oh, I just read that. The new law does not legalize unblocking of tablets or other devices, however, but only cell phones. But the wording in the bill does instruct Liberty of Congress to consider making exemptions for those devices when it... those devices are reviewed next year. It is a temporary solution. The Library of Congress will be reviewing this issue next year. Just for fun. Because hope you now like 2015. Oh. Oh, whoops. That would teach me not to press the wrong button. You know, I'm relatively new at this podcasting business. Sorry about that, folks. Gizmodo reports that between the start of January and the end of June, Twitter has shared information on two accounts to the Australian government and law enforcement officials. Twitter's transparency report shows that social network has complied with 100% of government reports for info. But that represents only two requests. Not for flattering statistic, but only two reports. No information was on what those reports actually were is known to the public. However, in both cases, those two requests for info were intact under Twitter's emergency disclosure provisions, which lets law enforcement officers submit a web form to appeal for data on users where that data is potentially required, urgently. In Australia, for the first 6 months of the year, Australian represented two out of the total, wait for it, 2,058 total information requests, the most in any six-month period since the recording of this data started. In the US, there were 1,257. Japan pulled in second with 192. Twitter, however, only produced 36% of that 192 and 72% of that 157. Math is hard. Moving right along to scary news of the day. In scary news, a report shared exclusively with CNN Money shows that the 2014 Jeep Cherokee, the 2015 Cadillac Escalade, and the 2014 Toyota Prius are the most hackable of the 20 car models reviewed by automotive security researchers. The 2014 Dodge Viper and the 2014 Audi A8 are the least hackable out of the 20 that they reviewed. Security research Charlie Miller and Chris Vatasik did their analysis at looking at the technical configurations of the different models. They didn't actually remotely hack any of the cars as outlined in the CNN Money report. Miller and Valasik say that their goal was to show which vehicles would most tempt hackers and to encourage the auto industry to make changes. According to this report, both the 2014 Cherokee and the 2015 Escalade had inherent security flaws. The car's apps, Bluetooth, and telematics that connects to the car to a cellular network like OnStar, for example, are on the same network as the engine controls, steering, brakes, and tire pressure. In the 2014 Prius, the AM radio, /XM radio now, and the Bluetooth are on the same network as the steering, brakes, and tire pressure. The problem? A car's network systems could become a gateway for hackers. If critical functions like steering are on the same network as features that could connect the car to the internet, might put the vehicle at risk. Well, so say Miller and Velasic. A flaw in those internet connected features could put a hacker only a step away from communicating with the features that directly control the driver's safety. In lighter news, Google Docs freaks out. Geek Tyrant reports that Frozen writer and co-director Jennifer Lee is set to adopt Madeline Lenico's classic novel A Wrinkle in Tale as a feature film for Disney. The story follows a young girl whose father, a government scientist, has gone missing after working on a mysterious project called the Tenestrit. Squirini. Meg and her two friends use the Tenestrit to travel through time and visit strange worlds in order to find their missing scientist father. The site says that it's one of their favorite books as a kid, and it's been a while since they've read it. They might read it with their kids before the movie comes out. According to Variety, this is one of Lee's favorite books as well. And apparently she inspired Disney executives to her take on the story, which emphasizes a strong female-driven narrative and creativity approaches and the science fiction and world-building elements on the book. As of now, Lee is only set to write the script, but there is always a chance she could direct it as well. After all, she did just make Disney's box office hit of the year. Disney has not yet told her to let the project go. Alrighty, we know that last weekend was San Diego Comic-Con. And here's a snarky wrap-up of some of the things you may have missed. San Diego Comic-Con, a four-day event dedicated to promoting the sequel of Sharknado. Here are several non-shark related announcements you may have missed. Due to an outcry of advocacy groups, the next movie will be called Battle for the Planet of the Semian Americans. Weird. Don't know what that's about. But good news, there will be another Conan/Red Soldier crossover soon. Bad news, it'll still be Bridget Nelson and Arnold Schwarzenegger. AMC showed the first preview of the Walking Dead My Little Pony crossover. Ugh. Marvel announced that Stan Lee died in 1978, and the person claiming to be him is actually Walt Disney. Believable. Bradley Cooper did not actually provide the voice for Rocket Raccoon and Guardians of the Galaxy. It was actually a talking raccoon who has been providing the voice of a computer-generated Bradley Cooper for the last decade. Also, Manduzil is actually a tree. In the upcoming season of The Simpsons, airing a crossover episodes with Family Guy, Futurama, Arrow, and Ice Truckers. I want to see that. It announced Godzilla will be fighting well-known monster in the next film, Guy Fury. Jealous of Marvel's domination in the movie theaters, the DC's success in television, Dynamite Comics have announced they'll be launching a series of radio shows on the DuPont Network. Two words, Ewok Jedi. SDCC, oh my gosh, and the Gathering of Juggalos will merge into one event. Just so they don't have to have two events to finger paint and poor hygiene. And the full awaited details of the long-awaited Batman 66 DVD were revealed, including an episode guide and a replica of Hot Wheels Batmobile. Not to be outdone, the characters of Mr. Ed were revealed in the details for their box set to be shipped inside an actual horse. No word yet as to whether the horse will actually talk, or they would just use Rocket Raccoon's voice like Bradley Cooper does. And that was a look at the headlines. Yes, it's time for a bit of a break before I continue on with the discussion point, which will be interesting, and I shouldn't ramble because we're pretty much right on time. But hey, if you want quality earbuds for your head whilst listening to the show, now you can with Tweaked Audio. They use 7 styles and 7 colours, except for wood, because wood is not a colour. Engineered for durability, lifetime warranty, just the best quality products you can use. You go to tweakedaudio.com and check out the range, and use GEEK, that's GEEK, at checkout for 33% off and free shipping. And 2-day shipping in the US, as I found out the other day. Quite great. I don't live in the US, but yeah, it's worth a shot if you do. Also, don't forget to visit our Patreon site over at patreon.com/geekio. Actually, technically not mine, because we're a Chef Wonder show. But we're affiliated with the Geek.io, and you know, we really want to push this value for value model. If you see value in the show coming back, then give a little value back. That's over at patreon.com/geekio. We'd really appreciate it. Now, the Australian government needs you. That's right, with 10 questions that only the government can copyright. But make sure you don't pirate the questions. I do find it ironic, though, that discussion paper actually leaked online. Yeah, that's one thing for you. Don't pirate those copyrighted questions. I'll get you every time. So, I'm going to read these articles. I'm definitely going to read the one that goes through on the leaking of the paper. And the government is claiming that there is no leaking between this and the IT pricing inquiry that of 2013 fame, the largest paper done on ever on social media. But we'll get to the recommendations that they have in that paper, and we'll see the correlation between the two. But let's go through of what is actually being discussed in this paper. We've got the main issue is affordability and availability. There's your big one right there. Is Australians pay way too much for content. That's just a given. And big powerhouses like Google, that sort of thing, have submitted to the government as well. The first sentence of the discussion paper actually outlines that the government is admitting the price is a particular issue as well. There's also site blocking as well. That they can block particular websites, particular IP addresses, and that sort of thing as well. The AI pirates, and that is to do with the case of AI Net and Village Roadshow, and that is to align ourselves with the regulations and the Fair Trade Act between ourselves, the US, and South Korea. We need to We need to get that in line. That is a thing that we need to do. Also, discussed in that. That's pretty much all that this article states. Here's the thing. Here are the 10 recommendations that they have in the... Is it 10 recommendations? Yeah. 10 recommendations that they have in the 150-page inquiry into IT pricing in Australia that was done in 2010, which has no leak at all. The first recommendation was the committee recommends that the ABS develop a comprehensive program to monitor and report expenditure on IT products, hardware and software, both domestically and overseas, as well as the size and volume of the online retail market. Recommendation number two, considering the importance of IT products to education in the interest of greater transparency in that area, the committee recommends the Australian government, in consultation with Universities Australia and CAUDIT, conduct a comprehensive study in the future of IT needs and costs forced by Australian universities in order to provide clearer financial perimeters for negotiations. The committee recommends that the Australian government consider a whole government accessible for IT procedement policy to be developed by the relevant agencies. Recommendation number four, the committee recommends that the parallel importation restrictions still found in the Copyright Act of 1968 be lifted, and that parallel importation defence in the Trademarks Act of 1995 can be reviewed and broadened to ensure that it is effective in allowing the importation of genuine goods. Halfway there, recommendation number five, the committee recommends that the Australian government amend the Copyright Act's Section 10, 1, anti-servation provisions to clarify and secure its customers' rights to servant technological protection and measures that control geographic market segmentation. Recommended six, the committee further recommends that the Australian government investigate into options to educate Australian consumers and businesses. The committee recommends that the Australian government, in conjunction with the relative agencies, consider the creation of right of resale in relation to digitally distributed content, and clarification of fair use, pretty much. Repeal the section of 51 in the Competition and Consumer Act of 2010. The committee recommends the Australian government consider enticing a ban or geo-blocking as a option of last resort, and should precedent the market failure to exist in spite of changes to the Competition and Consumer Act. And last but not least, that the Australian government investigate the feasibility of amending the Competition Consumers Act in contracts or terms of service to seek enforce geo-blocking where it's considered void. Now fast forward 4 years to this. We have the questions that the Australian government want you to answer or to comment on is the what are the constitute reasonable steps for ISPs to prevent or avoid copyright infringement? What are the reasonable steps to be shared? How should the cost of any reasonable steps to be shared in industry participants. Should the legalization provide further guidance on what constitute reasonable steps? Should ISPs be able to adopt to these different reasonable steps? And if so, what would be required, basically, to accommodate this? And what rights should consumers have in response to any schedule or reasonable steps taken by ISPs or right holders? Now, it's hard because the ISPs, as I swiftly move across my microphone, see, the Australian ISP system is kind of bizarre in the way that it is set up. It really is. It's kind of bizarre, but I think, and seeing that we have abilities for geo-blocking, that sort of thing, I think absolutely ISPs should make reasonable steps to stop online privacy. What these reasonable steps are, it's kind of hard to tell. But I think there are steps that could be taken. And this is why these questions are proposed. Another question is, what matters should the court consider when determining whether to grant an interjection or block access to a particular site? Another thing too is, what proposed definition adequately and appropriately expands the safe harbor scheme? And safe harbor scheme, is limiting the remedies available against carriage service providers for directly or authorized infringement on relevant activities. There are four categories. There is acting on conduct for internet activities, caching through an automatic process, storage of copyright material, and referring to the online location. These are things that need to be considered. How can the impacts of online copyright infringement be measured? Are there alternatives to reduce online copyright infringement? Regulatory proposals. And do the proposals have unintended implications or create additional burdens for entities and right holders and the ISPs? There are a ton of ways that copyright infringement can be handled, but at this stage, and this is a comment, so by the way, the commenting period is really short. It's from the 28th of July through the 1st of September. That is no time at all. It's hard because there's a lot of things that could be done. And it's good to see that the Australian government is, they have identified the issues. And I think they're just leaving it up to the consumer to what is it that they actually want to do with the particular thing. To do with online copyright infringement, because it's everywhere. But here's one point that I'll make on this before we head on out of here, because we are running a tad bit long. I would say that it's only higher here because A, the barrier to entry is higher, and B, that it's just harder to set up here. Like, we're so far away here in Australia from the major hubs. The main issue is the barrier to entry. If the government should also focus on, in conjunction with the trying to lower, this copyright infringement, to try and enhance the ways the media can be legally provided. All of this focus is on copyright infringement, and that makes me scared. That makes me scared because what is happening is that we're going to cut privacy. We're going to cut privacy. We're going to cut piracy, but actually make the content available legally, and that is a scary point. But we'll see this story develop. It was an interesting one to pull on the show as a kind of first basis kind of discussion point, and it's a fun one to do, definitely, because there's a lot of different rabbit holes that you can go in and that sort of thing, and I have put links in the show notes for this episode to help you kind of wrap your head around what these reports entire in detail, because obviously we don't have time to kind of go through the 150-page report of IT pricing as well. That's just on pricing. Hey, I want to throw out a birthday wish to CJ Boat, owner and boss man over there on the Geek.io network. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, CJ Boat. It is your birthday. You own it. I will not disclose your age on the air. Just for shits and giggles, people can leave it up to their own interpretation and their own visuals of you. I don't even know what I'm saying. Hey, but where you can reach the show. We're a part of the Chef Wonder and Geek.io network, chefwonder.squarespace.com/GLS, geek-io.com/GLS. Hey, you can visit our Google Plus page, where this lovely presentation is being broadcasted to, gplus.to/genericliveshow, youtube.com/genericliveshow, where we might actually, I don't know, see, this is the thing, this is a developing show, and we might in the future take discussion points and discuss them separately. I don't know, we'll see. Discuss them in further detail later on when we're not too sure. And don't forget to visit our Patreon site at patreon.com/geekio. That's going to do it for us. Thank you everyone for listening to this first inaugural reboot of the show. It's been quite fun. Thank you for joining me, and we'll see you all next week. Bye for now.
Listening to a proud member of the Chef Wonder Podcast Network. To find out more about this and other shows, visit chefwonder.squarespace.com. Hope you like 2014.
Listening to a part of the Geek.io podcast network.
Loud noises!
Visit us at geek-io.com for all of our great shows.
The pressure is building slowly, inexorably inside me. Oh my.
Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean it's bad for you. Go figure out how it works.
Geek.io. Copyright 2014.